Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
So how many of you saw the movie Gravity? So yeah, you like it? Yeah, I liked it. The main thought I had, though, was after seeing the movie Speed back in the 1990s, where Sandra Bullock plays this character who is stuck on a bus with a bomb on it that will go off if the bus goes under 50 miles per hour, and then seeing Gravity, where Sandra Bullock is stuck on a space shuttle that is destroyed by debris, I just thought, man, Sandra Bullock needs to stop taking large forms of transportation. You know, maybe try a moped or an electric scooter. I'm just saying, like, if you ever get on a big form of transportation and you see Sandra Bullock on it, run. Just run. So personally, I thought Gravity was a cool movie. And Sandra Bullock plays this character, Dr. Stone, Dr. Ryan Stone. And it's like, in her life, everything is going wrong. Before we meet her, we learn that prior she had a daughter who died at 4 years old. She's running on the playground at school, trip, fell, freak accident, dies. And now she's on this mission in outer space with an astronaut named Matt Kowalski, who is played by George Clooney. Which I guess I said everything's gone wrong for her. Some of you girls are like, that is not wrong. If that's wrong, sign me up. I don't want to be right. Okay. But while on their mission, somewhere else in outer space, a now defunct Russian satellite is struck by a Russian missile, which leads to this cloud of debris that starts flying through outer space. And the debris hits their space shuttle, detaches Stone, Sandra Bullock, from it, and leaves her tumbling through space. But Kowalski recovers Dr. Stone. Yay, George Clooney, and they make their way back to the shuttle. Unfortunately, when they get there, they discover that it is totaled and the rest of the crew is dead. I told you, everything is going wrong. And so the two of them make their way towards the International Space Station, the ISS, estimating that they have about 90 minutes to get there before the debris that's now circling in orbit is going to complete its orbit and come back at them again. So they find the ISS, and they discover that it has also been damaged and that one of its two escape capsules is gone, and the parachutes of the remaining space capsule have already deployed, making it useless for getting back to Earth. Soon, they're out of air, and they can no longer maneuver. And then Ryan Stone's legs get tangled in parachute cords, and she grabs onto Matt Kowalski's suit, but he's about to drift away into a floating death in outer space, so he detaches himself from her to save her, and then he drifts away. And so it's like, yay, George Clooney. Goodbye, George Clooney. And so she gets into the ISS, what's left of it, and she tries to reestablish communication with the Earth, but she cannot. Remember, everything's going wrong for her. And then a fire breaks out. Everything's going wrong. And so she gets into the second escape capsule and maneuvers it away from the ISS, but the tangled parachute lines prevent her from being able to separate from the station. And so she spacewalks. Turns out different than moonwalking. Didn't know. And she, as she does, the debris comes back around that's been in orbit, and it hits and destroys the ISS, which is now gone. So she aligns the escape pod. She gets into the escape pod. She aligns it with a Chinese space station and then discovers that it has no fuel. And that's when she decides to give up. You know, she's tried everything, and everything's gone wrong, and she just realizes that she is going to die. And so she shuts down the oxygen in the cabin so she can just sit there and die. And let's watch that scene. She decides to die, to give up. And that's when her partner, Matt Kowalski, appears again. Hello, George Clooney. It turns out it's not really him. She's just imagining him coming in and sitting next to her and speaking to her. But what he says to her in that moment is so critical. It's so important. And so let's watch that part of the scene. I think that scene is so powerful, partly because she's given up hope. She's decided to not continue to live. And also because of this idea that no one ever taught her to pray. She says, no one ever taught me to pray. I can't pray for myself. She realizes as she's about to die that her whole life she had neglected her spiritual life. She had never thought about what would happen to her after she dies. And now she realizes that's the only thing that matters. And so she's given up when she has this vision of her partner showing up. And he challenges her, are you going to live? Or are you going to just take the easy way out? Are you going to give up? Or are you going to try? Yeah, I know that you've already tried, but are you willing to try one more time? Maybe there's something you haven't tried. And it turns out there is. There's one thing she hadn't tried, and so she decides not to give up, and she tries it, and spoiler alert, but it's been out a long time on DVD, what are you waiting for? She tries it, she's able to get back to Earth, and she survives. Great movie, but who cares about a movie? All right, let's talk about what matters. Let's talk about your life. And here's what I want to know. I want to know, are you going to live? Are you going to live? Or are you just going to take the easy way out? Are you going to just give up? And yeah, I know you've tried, but are you willing to try one more time? Because maybe there's something you still haven't tried. And I'm serious. Because my guess is that there is some area of your life, maybe for some of you, you're like, my entire life, but for most of us, probably some area of your life where you've been going down the same path for a long time, acting like you're living, but in that area of life, and you feel like there's no life there at all. Like it's just this dead path. Maybe for some of you, it's your marriage. And your marriage started with love and hope and excitement, but something happened. It may have kind of started with just with fighting or maybe just distractions from each other. But somehow, your marriage has grown cold. And now, at best, you feel like you're just roommates. So, are you going to take the easy way out? Are you going to give up? Or are you going to live? Maybe for others of you, it might be your career. You had this dream about what you wanted to do with your life. You had this plan, but it seems like everything has gone wrong. You're not doing what you wanted to do. You're not working for the kind of person you wanted to work for. And the question now is, are you just going to give up? Are you going to take the easy way out? Or are you going to live? Are you going to live? It might be for you that you struggle with an addiction. Maybe you wouldn't call it that. You don't like that word. But the truth is, there is something that you do that you can't seem to stop doing. You know, and you know it's hurting your life. Maybe it's hurting your relationships. Maybe it's hurting your career. Maybe it's hurting your relationship with God. And you have sworn 1,000 times that you are not going to go back there. And every time you find yourself back there. So are you just going to give up? Or will you live? Will you choose to live? Now, I don't know, maybe for you it's your kids. You remember that day when you rushed to the hospital and all the hope there was and all the excitement there was and thinking about the future. And now you're at a place where you look at it and you're like, how did we ever get here? It feels like everything has gone wrong. I mean, you look at your kid's life or you look at your relationship with your child and are you going to take the easy way out? Are you going to give up? Or are you going to live? Maybe for you it's your finances. You know, everything has gone wrong. You don't even completely understand what's gone wrong. Maybe it was some emergencies, and maybe it was just some bad decisions along the way. But somehow, it's all become this mountain of debt that you find yourself piled under. And you just have completely given up hope that you could dig your way out of it. Is that your choice? Are you really going to give up? Or are you going to choose to live? Or maybe for some of you, maybe it's your spiritual life. Maybe you like to think of yourself as a spiritual person, but if you're being honest, you're not sure how true that really is. You know, perhaps like Sandra Bullock's character in the movie, no one ever taught you how to pray. You didn't grow up going to church, and so you've never really had much of a faith or a relationship with God. Honestly, you're not even sure how real all of it is. But you find yourself at times wondering if you're missing something. And if maybe what you're missing is actually the most important thing of all. Or perhaps you did grow up going to church, you know, and you used to be at a place in life where you felt close to God, but you don't anymore. And the truth is, if you're honest, you miss it. You miss Him. Are you going to take the easy way out? Are you just going to give up? Or will you choose to live? What's your decision? My hope is that today, this morning, you are going to make the decision, like Dr. Ryan Stone did, that you are not quitting, that you are going to choose to live. And yes, I know you've tried, but maybe there's something you haven't tried yet. You know, and I don't know what it is that you haven't tried. Maybe for some of you, maybe it's counseling. I don't know. You know, maybe you've always been this kind of person who's like, counseling is for people who can't figure things out on their own, and I don't need that. But the truth is, man, counseling can help anyone, and maybe that's your path to get where you need to go. And man, if that's your just get it, life is just too important to just quit on it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe for you it's getting into a 12-step group or maybe it's you walking into your job and handing in your resignation so you can pursue your dream or go back to school so you can start a new career. Maybe what you need to do, maybe the thing you haven't tried is sitting down with your spouse or sitting down with your family and making this decision and making this announcement. We're just not going to keep living the same way. You know, we've got one shot at this life and we're not going to keep going down the same path that has no life in it. And so we're going to do life different starting today. I don't know. Maybe one of those steps applies for your situation. Maybe it doesn't. But there's one thing I think that we all need. I think if we're going to get from where we're at to where we need to go, where we want to be, then I think we all need God. I believe that we all need a relationship with God through Jesus. And this gets to a critical question. I think maybe it's the critical question that we all should answer. In honor of the movie, I'll ask it this way. What is your center of gravity? What is your center of gravity? And what I mean by that is, like, when you struggle, when you're going into one of those everything's going wrong kind of phases of life, what are you naturally pulled to? Where do you find your thoughts just automatically going? Who or what do you think will save you when you find yourself in those situations where you realize, I need help? For many of us, I think the answer is all kinds of things. You know, all kinds of things. My center of gravity, what I look to for help is anything and everything. If there's something offering help, man, I will grasp at it. And so you find yourself reading all kinds of books and listening to your friends' advice and watching Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz, and there's probably some other doctors I don't even know about, and you're reading all kinds of stuff on the internet that promises solutions for your problem. In fact, maybe when I kind of gave that list before, maybe you're like, I've already been to counseling. I've already been to a 12-step group. I think I've tried everything and nothing has helped. Nothing has worked in that area of my life. Well, maybe you've tried everything except Jesus. Maybe you've tried everything except Jesus. So there's a story in the Bible about a woman who found herself in one of those everything is going wrong kind of situations. Actually, she lived a everything's going wrong kind of life. And she had tried all kinds of things. She was the kind of person who said, I'll try anything that might offer me help. And we see her story in a book of the Bible called Mark. The Bible is divided into different books. Mark was written by a guy named Mark. You can fill in the blanks. It's not hard. And so Mark records the events of Jesus' life. And let's check out Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 21. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible, we'll put the verses on the screen so you're set. If you don't own a Bible, we give them out for free as gifts back at the Velcro bar. There's not like a catch. There's not somebody who's going to be like, okay, but we need your social security number, anything like that. Just grab a Bible. We'd love to give you one. It's got a reading plan in it if you want to use it. So Mark chapter 5, verse 21 is where we meet this lady. It says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and lived. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. So here comes the lady, ready? And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Okay, so this woman's problem was a physical problem. For 12 years, she has suffered from it. And her problem is that she can't stop losing blood. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having a problem like that and suffering for over a decade with it? Can you imagine how you would feel? It's interesting. In the Bible, blood is often used as a symbol of life. Okay. Now, what she's going through is not symbolic. It was literal. But I think the symbolism probably held true as well. I think she probably felt like the life was draining out of her. And it had been draining out of her for 12 years. And she had sought all kinds of help. If there was someone who could help her, she sought their help. And nothing worked. Nothing helped her. And so she had reached a point where she had just basically completely lost hope. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you've been suffering for a while. Maybe it feels like life is draining out of you, or draining out of your marriage, or draining out of your career. And perhaps you've tried to make things better. It's not like you've been passive. You've tried everything. You've tried everything imaginable, everything you could think of, and nothing has helped. And you're sitting here this morning, and at least in that area of life, you've lost hope. You've lost hope. Well, this woman realizes that there is something she hadn't tried. Let's pick the story back up in verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Now, at once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus looked around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. And maybe the truth is that you have tried everything, but maybe you haven't tried Jesus. And maybe it's time for you to move towards Jesus. Maybe he is actually the one thing that can get you from where you're at to where you need to go. And I want to ask you, if you have tried everything, if you feel like you have tried everything, have you really tried Jesus? Have you really tried Jesus? So some of us have felt like we've tried everything, and I'll try anything, but that's not all of us. For others of us, our center of gravity, the thing we look to save us from those everything has gone wrong kind of situations is myself, right? It's like you look to yourself. You are not looking to anything else. You are not going to go to counseling. You're not reading books. You're not listening to your friends. You are relying on you, right? You will get yourself out of this situation, right? You're going to get yourself from where you are to where you need to be. And I'll tell you, if that's you, I can relate. And there's actually a guy in the Bible who can relate. He was just like that. It's a guy whose name was Paul. And Paul started out like the furthest thing from a follower of Jesus. But he has this kind of encounter with Jesus, and he becomes a follower of Jesus. And he starts churches and writes letters to them. And some of those letters end up becoming part of the New Testament of the Bible. And one of those letters was called Philippians. And I want to check out some of it with you. So Philippians 3, starting in verse 4. Paul writes, "Though I myself have reasons," and we're kind of jumping in the middle, I'll explain it. He says, "Though I myself have reasons for such confidence." If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, that is in themselves, I have more. "Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless." And I know if you're not familiar with the Bible, and most people who go to Verve aren't, you're like, huh? What was that all about? So he was circumcised. Who cares? Israel, tribe of Benjamin, confident, like he lost me. So here's the deal. Basically, these are cultural things from that time and place. But what he's doing is he's making the argument that if anyone could trust themselves, it was him. He's like, if anyone is the kind of person who could get themselves from where they were to where they need to be, it was me. If anyone who could save themselves from their situation, it was me. Okay, but look at what he writes next, starting in verse 7. He writes, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the death." And so he goes on and on about how he trusted in himself and thought that he could handle life and do whatever he needed to do. But then he says, "I met Jesus. I mean, when I met Jesus, everything changed. Something happened. I found out that he has power. I'm talking real power. I'm talking like life from death kind of power. Power that I could never hope to have." And what I realized is that I had to radically reevaluate my life. And what Paul learned, just like that lady who had been suffering for 12 years learned, he learned that it was Jesus, not himself, but Jesus, who was the only one who could get him from where he was to where he needed to go. And so he writes, he's like, "Listen, now more than anything, I just want to know Jesus. In fact, if there's anything in my life that causes me to rely on myself instead of Jesus, I consider that like a negative instead of a positive. I just want to know Jesus, not know about him. Like, I want to know him in a personal way where it's like daily we're doing life together. So his power is is like flowing into my life because it's his power that I'm trusting in, not mine. And maybe like Paul, maybe like me, you're someone who trusts in yourself. But maybe it's time to trust in Jesus. Maybe it's time for you to move towards Jesus. And maybe it would turn out that he is what can help you to get from where you're at to where you need to go. Now, I wonder maybe if for some of you that sounds like something that might be beyond you. You know, thinking about that, maybe like Sandra Bullock's character in the movie, maybe no one ever taught you how to pray. And so maybe you're a little surprised to find yourself sitting here today in church and you're wondering, man, this far into my life, could I really make that change? You know, could I get to a place where I have real faith in Jesus and an actual relationship with God and where I learn to make God my center of gravity? Because that's just not been my life. Could I really be a person who, instead of trusting in all kinds of things or trusting in myself, I could really get to a place where I'm trusting in God and looking to his power? And let me just answer that question, because the answer is, yes, you can. Listen, in those stories, that lady who had been suffering for so long, she came to Jesus midway through her life. Paul, he came to faith in Jesus midway through his life. I didn't know a thing about Jesus, had never been to church until my 20s. And Verve is filled with people who have started a brand new spiritual journey, and to their surprise, it's happened in the middle of their life. Many of them, by the way, have been helped by a course that we offer called Verge. You saw the commercial for that earlier, and you could sign up for that today. And if you take that 6-week course, you will learn all about this God who loves you and who is offering to put his power into play in your life so that he can help you. He's making an offer to help you. So again, my hope is that the result of today is that you will make a decision that you are not quitting, that you are going to choose to find life in whatever way, in whatever area of your life that you need to find it. I know you've tried, but maybe there's something you haven't tried. And my hope is that you will make the decision today to live. You're not going to give up on that area of your life. And listen, if you want to live, come back next week. Because next week, I'm going to explain an indispensable factor in your journey from getting from here to there. Like, you needed to be here this week, I think, because you need to know that you need Jesus. But what you have heard today and will hear today is not enough. It's not. Which sounds wrong. It's like, you need Jesus, but Jesus isn't enough. But that's the truth. What you're going to learn next week is an indispensable factor. And the interesting thing is, almost everyone misses it. People who believe in Jesus miss it. People who don't believe in Jesus miss it. Almost everyone misses it, but it's like a key factor that's going to get you from where you are in whatever area of your life to where you need to go in that area of your life. So come back next week. For now, we're going to have the band play a song. And during this song, during this time, we have a communion available. Communion is a reminder of God's love for us, that you have a God who is crazy about you, and that he loves you, and he came for you. Jesus came for you. He came to show you God's love, and he came to die for you because, according to the Bible, the only way you could have that relationship with God and gain his power in your life is by Jesus dying for you on a cross. And so that's what Jesus did. And communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that remind us of his body and his blood given for us. And it's just this way that we can remember and thank him for what he did for us. And if you'd like to take that, it's on the tables around the room. If you are not really there yet, that is totally fine. You can just stay where you're at. And we make that available to you every week. But this week, we want to offer you something else that you can do. So During the cholera epidemic of the 1700s and 1800s, there was this widespread fear of being buried alive. Well, like it was just this panic that someone with cholera might be thought dead, buried, but not actually be dead. And yet now, because their life was given up on, they have no chance. And so what happened in the late 1700s, early 1800s, is they began to bury everyone in what were called safety coffins. This is true. It was a coffin with a rope inside of it, and the rope went up to a bell. And if the person had been buried prematurely, well, they could ring the bell, letting anyone who heard it know that the person in the coffin was not dead. But by ringing the bell, they were declaring that they still had life to live. And so we've got this bell up here today, and there's a rope that could allow a person to ring the bell. And in a minute, we're going to have the band play a song. And it's a song that speaks of how hard it can be at times to just keep on breathing. How your soul can feel crushed at times. But when that happens, you just need to make the decision that you are going to live. And so you cry out with everything you have left. And you lift your eyes from the mess of your life. And you put them on the God who loves you and who is offering to save you. And you just have this hope that you know that He can still make something beautiful out of the ashes of your life. In fact, He can give you new life. And so I don't know, but maybe for a while you have felt like your marriage is dead, or your career is dead. Your hopes are dead. Your financial situation, dead. Your relationship with your kids, dead. Your dream, dead. Or maybe your spiritual life. Maybe you gave up on church and you gave up on God a long time ago. You gave up on the hope of having that kind of life a long time ago. But today, you realize that you still have a choice. And you are going to choose to live. Sure, you could take the easy way out, but that is not what you're going to do. That is not what you're going to do. You are not going to give up. You are going to live. And so I want to invite you, as our band plays this song, to come up and ring that bell to signify that whatever it is for you, okay, whatever it means for you, your marriage, your hopes, your dreams, your career, your relationship with God, it was buried prematurely. It is not dead. It is not dead. And you still have life to live.